This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you doing?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. The sun is shining here in the UK. So with the weekend ahead, it's all good. Let's talk about the markets generally and the indices across the board, because we have seen quite a bounce back, haven't we, from where we were this time last week and the Friday before then. An incredible turnaround for markets, particularly the S&P and more formidably, the Nikkei, an incredible recovery in Japan, but in the United States as well.
Yeah, Johnny, I think that the moves that we've seen in the last 2 weeks, I think we'll look back on for years to come as just a remarkable instance, predominantly in the volatility index. If you take a look at the VIX, we went from low teen numbers, 13, 14 in the VIX, up to at one point around 65, which is a remarkable, almost record-setting number. And then what is certainly a record-setting number, we went from 65 on the VIX to 14.76 at the time of recording this in just a two-week period. Is absolutely remarkable that you see a drop-off in volatility of somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% plus. Now, the reason I bring that up is that has, I believe, never happened before. We have not seen such a steep drop-off in volatility so quickly, maybe ever. If I believe that there's maybe one other instance in the 90s that occurred, but the point is, this led to one of the most aggressive V-shaped recovery moves that I've ever seen, and probably many other stock market investors or speculators have seen ever, because, you know, the S&P, as you mentioned, has bounced back aggressively and is, of course, overshadowed even by the bounce back in the Japanese yen, which, you know, from the lows to where we currently are at is 20%+ bounce back in just a few week period, which is a almost frightening amount of movement in such a short period of time. But it's almost like, you know, if you had taken a vacation for the last 3 weeks, Johnny, and come back to your desk, you would have been like, oh my gosh, what happened? My positions didn't change that much. And yet the market itself did a crazy, crazy amount of movement. You know, the question is why? The question is what led to this and is it sustainable? And I think that one thing to think about here is that we have to go back and ask what caused this steep amount of fear, which is what a spike in the VIX usually comes with, this amount of fear to come into the markets. And if we go back a couple weeks, we were all very convinced, okay, soft landing is here, no problems. And Jerome Powell even signaled on that fabled Wednesday before the NFP jobs, he said, basically along the lines of, we think we've done it, we think we've got it from here, inflation's coming down, and we think we can cut rates and get out of this with a soft landing. He didn't say it exactly like that, obviously, but that was what many people heard. And then on Friday, the jobs data comes in, and it's a big miss, and the market freaks out. They start buying back the Japanese yen, which is a traditional borrowing currency, and it spills over into Monday selling, where we see stocks just dropping out of the sky, and we've got currencies making dramatic moves as well, the dollar index falling and the Japanese yen rising. All of this is going on at once. And noticeably, the volatility index spikes up to, again, that crazy 65 number. We spike up to that level and suddenly the market starts to get bought. It starts bottoming out in the thick of all of this terrifying news that we're getting and all this fear that's coming in. The Bank of Japan steps out and also says, and we discussed this on the podcast at the time, basically that they don't intend to hike interest rates if it will cause trauma to the global situation. That was our first put, if you will, you know, that the Bank of Japan put into this situation. They stopped the selling. But then, you know, we fast forward to later in the evening once the, or evening for, you know, other parts of the world, but morning time for the US data that comes out, services PMI comes in and a sigh of relief, it actually comes in okay. Then we proceed to see unemployment claims later in that week. They actually were healthier than expected. And the market kind of started to rally from there, and the rally kept going with this week's data, where we saw, again, unemployment claims coming in nice and, you know, healthy, showing some strength in the labor market to counterbalance that big NFP fear. And then, you know, we had retail sales numbers yesterday, which, oh my goodness, those were wonderful retail sales numbers. We were expecting for a 0.4% month over month growth, and we got 1% out of US data. So you start looking at the full picture and you say, the market freaked out about a recession, got way over its skis, and we actually saw the VIX spike, the put call ratio went crazy. If anybody watches that, basically showing that many people were out there buying puts aggressively, you know, terror was everywhere in the streets. And sure enough, that was a really interesting bottoming signal. And the market has proceeded to rip higher from there. So long story short, Johnny, there was recession fears, and then data just rolled in one after the next, surprisingly good over and over and over in this last few week period, which almost brings us back to, oh, maybe things are just fine. And it's a weird big circle of events because, again, you know, asked me a week or two ago, are we going to just V-shape recovery? I probably would have said, I don't think so. Very unlikely. And then, you know, again, the data surprised many. And whenever you get big surprises, you usually get big moves in the markets as well. So kind of a recap of the last few weeks, which has been for me, and I imagine for yourself too as well, Johnny, some of the more interesting times in markets that I've experienced in my, you know, last, you know, 8 or so years of doing this.
You make yourself sound like you're an old timer now, Nick. Welcome to the club.
I wouldn't say that yet, but I'm getting there. You know, this has definitely been, Johnny, a stripe earning situation. CFX spiked so dramatically. We have stuff going on in the Middle East. I mean, there's just no shortage of things to discuss.
I mean, talking of the Middle East, on a slightly different subject to oil, I'm having a look at the price of oil at the moment. It's down today. I get the feeling that, in fact, Brent crude is below $80 a barrel. I get the feeling that maybe people are a little bit calmer at the moment about the threat of an escalation in the Middle East, particularly between Iran and Israel. The mood music which is coming out suggests that things might not go as badly as we were fearing a few days ago, but early days, of course. But what are your thoughts about that oil price?
The tricky thing about the oil market and what's going on in the Middle East is that it is so sensitive to whatever gets said, whatever, you know, maneuvers are going on, whatever, you know, messages are sent out. And it is fascinating to see how fast the data travels and moves into the market even. So as you pointed out, you know, oil being down, that is a, especially this morning at one point, it was down, I think somewhere near around 3%, which is a pretty significant drop. And that would kind of signal that there is a expectation that perhaps there won't be a response, or at least not a aggressive one. I know that, Johnny, there was a few months ago a similar fear or concern that there would be retaliatory, you know, attacks or you know, something happened between Iran and Israel, and then they kind of downplayed it. I'm talking about Iran. They downplayed the situation, and there was no big response. So I wonder if there is perhaps a persistent theme there. And as you mentioned, maybe they know they're a little bit outgunned. Maybe they know that the situation is something that they're not ready for. Nobody wants war. Obviously, that part of the world is a very troubled and difficult situation that nobody has an easy answer for. But it is definitely something in terms of markets. Any signs of escalation or de-escalation is definitely moving the markets. We saw a big spike in the last few weeks on the price of oil, you know, down at August 7th levels. We're at 73, went up as far as 80 in just a short week span. So it is very, very volatile over there, and watching for the latest is likely going to cause big spikes one way or the other. And even, you know, it's very much rumor based is what I'm noticing too, right? It's very much, what are the chances? What's the analysis telling us of what they are likely to do, et cetera, that is moving the market so quickly?
Let's talk about next week, Nick. And of course, we've got Jackson Hole coming up. What do you think the Fed is likely to say?
Yeah, and I think that for the rest of August, this is pretty much the main event for global markets. One side note for the stock market would be NVIDIA's earnings. I believe that is August 28th, probably the most anticipated stock to report their earnings. And it does save the best for last, if you will. Most other companies have already presented their earnings, but NVIDIA's got theirs then. In terms of Jackson Hole, though, you know, we've seen yields coming down quite a bit recently. We've seen, you know, some data points that are showing slowing in the U.S. economy, but a bit of a bounce back in the last few weeks, which is arguably, well, not even arguably, it's a good thing for the stock market sentiment to see a little bit of hold the line there. We don't want to see the economy just absolutely crashing, which causes the yields to fall so heavily. So in the question of what is the Fed going to say or do, my opinion is most likely, I think they're going to probably cut 25 basis points and begin the process. And again, I kind of lean more into the soft landing camp because we've seen some healthy data points coming out to hold the line. If things are healthy, but the Fed can't afford to cut rates with the lowering levels of inflation that we've seen recently, you start to see this picture where, okay, they probably can cut interest rates. And if they can, but they don't have to, maybe they'll just start the process slowly because they are also afraid of repeating past mistakes of the Fed of cutting too quickly too soon when the economy is doing okay and then inflation ramps up. So my guess is a middle line is likely a 25 basis point cut in September to get things started and then to go from there. So I think that they're probably going to solidly indicate that they've already done this, right? That they're going to cut in September. That's been pretty clear. I think they're going to probably give us a little bit more context on the magnitude of how much they will cut. And likely, I think that will be closer to 25 basis points. I think 50 basis points, the only way they do 50 basis points is because if they feel very much that they can do so, but don't have to. It's kind of a confusing thing, but I think that there is a possibility that if they cut 50 basis points, it wouldn't be because the recession, you know, is impending, but possibly that they want to get a jump start on it and they feel that they can. If you get really good inflation data continuing, they may choose to do that. And that is a possibility that the Fed Watch tool kind of has shown for us as well. There's a possibility of a 50 basis point cut. That being said, though, I do think that they're probably going to take the middle line, probably go for 25 basis points and begin the process of cutting, not too fast, not too slow.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Nick. We will speak to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.